Interested in verse number 1 right here. Peter says, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered. Now I want to preach for just a little while to you tonight on this thought. Where to look when things look bad. Where to look when things look bad. Don't know if you realize it or not, but we live in perilous times today. If you look at the world situation around this old world today, if you look at the economy, if you look at how much in debt our country is, boy, I'm telling you, you can get depressed if you're not careful tonight, if you go to looking at the world situation around us. But I tell you, if you apply the Word of God to your life and look at the situation, I tell you, you can be encouraged a little bit in realizing that your redemption is drawing nigh, that Jesus is soon to come for His church. So tonight I want to look at a few thoughts right here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers that are scattered. Now Peter was he was writing in his older years right here. He'd grown old and he wrote some words right here to the church that had been scattered out of Jerusalem because of persecution. Now I don't know what we might go through before this thing ends up, but I can tell you one thing, the world don't like the church. And the world, I believe, is going to do some things probably before this thing winds down to really try to stifle the church. I tell you, the devil, he ain't sitting down. He ain't sitting down and giving up. He's got great wrath, and he's pouring it out as best he can upon the people of God. And that's what was happening to the church at this particular time. But I want you to notice and realize that even though they were scattered throughout, God used them to spread the gospel. No matter what situation we find ourselves in from day to day, whatever trouble comes upon us from day to day, if we'll just trust in God, He can use it to His glory and His honor. Listen tonight. First of all, where to look when things look bad? Let's look at our holiness. Let's look at our holiness. Now the Bible teaches us over in Hebrews chapter 12, I think it is, that without holiness no man shall see God. But I thank God when Jesus saved me one day, He took my sins away, He buried them in a sea of forgiveness, He imputed His righteousness unto me. When God sees me, He don't see the man that I used to be, He don't even see the man that I am right now. When He looks at me, He sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and He sees His holiness, I believe. Amen! I'm glad I'm holy through Christ. Hey, there ain't nothing holy about me, this old flesh right here, but I got Jesus living in me, and He's holy. Holy is His name. Hallelujah. Hey, let's look at our holiness. First of all, notice some things that Peter has told us right here. First of all, in verse number 2, let's look here at our selection. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, friend. Ain't you glad tonight that He chose you one day? That He chose to call you one day to draw you into the family of God? Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Ain't you glad that you heard the call of God one day in your life? Let me tell you something, friend. I can look out at a bunch of old boys that I used to run with. They're getting old now and they're still out in darkness, friend. But I'm glad one day that I heard Jesus call me. By His wonderful and marvelous grace, friend, He called me to repentance. I'm glad that He selected me. Hey, listen, and you know why people still out in darkness? Because they choose it. Amen. Over in the book of John chapter 3 it says they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's where people are today, friend. There's enough gospel being preached today to save the whole world if men just wanted to be saved. But they love the darkness. Hey, that's why it took me so long to get saved. I love the darkness, and just be honest with you. I love my drinking, and I love my gambling, and I love the darkness that I was in. But thank God Jesus shined a light on my darkened heart one day, and He drew me by His grace to salvation. Amen. The selection. Oh, listen to me. A lot of people get confused about this elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And there's a lot of folks can come up with a Calvinist belief because of these verses about the election and predestination, friend, but there's enough Bible tells me that all men can be saved if they just want to. Titus says in chapter number 2, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Over in the book of 2 Peter right here, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, friend. There's a lot of Bible that tells me that God would have all men to be saved. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Jesus stood up one day and he cried, said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And he didn't say just the Jews. He didn't say just the Gentiles. He didn't say black. He didn't say white. He didn't say red. He didn't say yellow. But he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Amen. I'm glad there's a selection. Oh, according to this holiness, friend. Not only that, but in verse number 2 and then in verse number 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I'm glad not only did he select me, but he saved me. Save's a good Bible word, ain't it? Hey, listen to me, friend. And he didn't save me, friend, by water baptism. He didn't save me because he thought I'd be a good boy. He didn't save me because he'd call me to preach one day. He didn't save me, friend, because of any kind of good works that I could ever do, friend. But he begot me, friend, because of an abundant mercy that he speaks of here. Abundant mercy. Ain't you glad God has mercy? You know what? If it wasn't for God's mercy, if there was no such thing as God's mercy, if we were kept by our own merits, friend, I'd been gone to hell 1,000 times. 1,000 times, 1,000 probably, friend. But I'm glad I got birthed in one day. Birthed in by the Spirit of God one day into the family of God. Not only in this thing or this picture of our holiness, where to look when things look bad. Look to your selection. Look to your salvation. And look to this, friend. Look to this. When things looks bad, hey, Peter was saying right here, he you notice he mentioned strangers in verse number 1. He didn't say brothers. He didn't say sisters, but he said strangers. You know, as we journey through this life right here, the closer we get to God, the stranger this world gets. Anybody can say amen to that? And this world gets stranger and stranger. The closer I get to God, the more that I look at His world, His Word. And you know something else, friend? The closer you get to God, the stranger you're going to look to the world. Amen. We're just strangers and pilgrims down here. We're just passing through, friend. We're heading to a city whose builder and maker is God. Strangers, friend. And let me tell you something, friend. Speaking of our holiness, friend. Our holiness within ought to show without. Amen? If we go through this life, friend, we ought to be a light to those about us. Our holiness, friend, but secondly, notice this, our hope. In verse number 3, he speaks about a lively hope. A lively hope. Now, there's a lot of folks that's got religion in this world, and they've got hope in their religion. But their religion's dead. But I want to tell you tonight, I got a lively hope. I'm glad he put that word lively in his word right here. I got a living hope because I've got a living Savior today. I know he lives because he lives inside of me. And he empowers me through the Holy Ghost. He speaks to me through the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've got a hope today. A living hope. And I know that because of the presence of his Spirit, the promise of his mercies, and the power of his resurrection. I've got a hope today. Let me ask you something. Have you got that hope today? I got a call today about an old boy that I was acquainted with. He went out to meet God last night. And, you know, he told another fellow about, it's either Friday or Monday. He said, "Well, I'm probably not going to be here Wednesday." He said, "But I've made peace with God." He said, I'm ready to go on." And he went out to meet God last night, about 11 o'clock. And I believe he went out with that hope because of the peace that he'd made with God. You got that peace tonight? Have you got that hope? We're all going to leave this world one of these days. We're going to get out of this thing one of these days. This body is going back to the dust from whence it come. I hope you've got that hope. I hope you've got the presence of His Spirit. I'm sealed with that Spirit of promise as He spoke about over in Ephesians chapter 1. I've got the Holy Ghost of God living in me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I mean, He is here to stay in my in this old body of clay. One day, it'll go back to the dust, as we said. Now listen, friend. The presence of His Spirit, the promise of His mercies. Now things may get bad. I'm talking about when things are looking bad. Where are you going to look to? I'm glad His mercy is everlasting. Amen? He's told us that over in the book of Psalms. His mercy is everlasting. The psalmist said in Psalms 23, he said, "Surely, or truly, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Ain't you glad you got that mercy on your trail today? In the book of Lamentations, it says that His mercies are new every morning, or every day His mercies are new. Glad I can count on His mercy today. Hey, you know why you can count on His mercy? Because He loves you. Because He cares for you, friend. Yeah, let me tell you something. Even in your dying day, friend, there's mercy right there. Because you've got... Hey, let me tell you, if you're anchored in Christ Jesus, if you're anchored in Jesus, there's mercy because He saved your soul one day, friend. You don't have to fear death anymore. Death's just a stepping stone into eternal bliss with Jesus. Stepping stone into heaven. Oh, listen to me, friend. I have hope because I've got the Spirit of God, the presence of His Spirit, promise of His mercies, friend, and also the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. You believe Jesus rose from the dead? You believe He died on a cross? You believe they buried Him and rolled a stone over the door of His grave? Do you believe on that third day, that getting up morning, they went there and found it empty? He rose from the grave for our justification, friend. And listen to me. Just realize tonight that we're going to come up just like Christ come up. Let me tell you, if we leave this world by death, they plant us out here in the graveyard. I have hope, friend, in a resurrection morning because He told us in His Word the Lord's going to descend from heaven one of these days with a shout, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Have that hope. It's more than a hope. It's more than just a hope, ain't it? Hey, you believe the Word of God, don't you? Hey, it's a promise. The power of His resurrection. I'm glad. Over in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken these old mortal bodies. Bring us up out of the grave one day. We are heading towards home. That's my next point. Where to look when things look bad? Look to your holiness, look to your hope, and look to your home. I ain't talking about a home over yonder at 1548 Lovern Mill Road. That's a house. That's a house. I've got a home over on the other side because, how do you know? Because God said so. He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You got a home over there reserved for you? He speaks about that reservation right here in verse number 4. A place that'll fade not away, reserved in heaven for you. Ain't you glad you got that promise tonight? Our home. Hey, not only our home, friend, our inheritance right here. He said an inheritance. Have you ever had an inheritance to come to you? A lot of you have. Maybe mama or daddy passed on and there was something left behind for you. We've got an inheritance as children of God. We're heirs of God, the Bible says, and joint heirs with Christ. Listen to me. We ought to look more to our heavenly home. Listen now. Way back in about 1986, I built a house over yonder at 1548 Lovern Mill Road. Now, I was real proud of that thing when I built it. But you know what? I've had to replace the roof. I've had to paint it. I've had to replace the siding on it. Man, that thing is just, it's just continually something has to be done for the upkeep on that stinking thing, friend. But I want to tell you something. I've got a house. I've got more than a house. I've got a home over yonder on the other side, friend. The Bible says it's my inheritance, friend. And he says it's incorruptible, friend. It'll not decay. It'll not fade away, friend. It'll never need no repairs, friend. There'll never be a tax bill to come in on it. Hey, Jesus has done paid it all. All to him I owe. Well, listen to me about our home. An inheritance. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. John said, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Sons of God. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. My, my. You know what? I'm looking for a tax bill to come in on my house just about any day. I had to go up there the other day and argue with them a little while because they doubled my taxes. And guess who won? They did. I come to find out they get a little bonus for all that. Well, I tell you what. I hope as I'm heading up through the sky, I can look back down here and spit this away. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And the longer I stay here, the sicker I get of it. And what man has done to God's creation. Amen. Amen. Our home, our inheritance. It's incorruptible. Not only in my home is it incorruptible, but there's some impossibilities over there. Amen. It's going to be impossible for sin to enter in. It's going to be impossible for sorrows to be in that place. It's going to be impossible for sickness to be over there. There'll be no sadness over there. There'll be no sad goodbyes over there. But let me tell you something. When we get over there, friend, it's going to be hallelujah, good morning to all our loved ones that's gone on, friend. We're going to get to sit down with all the elders of the Bible, the elders of old, the old saints of old, friend. We'll get to sit there while the ages roll on. We'll get to see Jesus who gave His life for us, friend. I'm glad my home has some impossibilities. There'll be no sin over there. Let me tell you something. I'll never again have to fall on my face in an altar, friend, and say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry I've sinned, because sin will never enter into that place. And there'll be no Satan over there to tempt us and to lead us astray. Oh, man. No sickness, no sorrows over there in our home. But you notice, friend, as Peter goes through this here, he speaks about our holiness, our hope, our home. But he also has something to say about our heaviness down here along in verse number 5. He says we were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. But notice this in verse 6. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, he was speaking to a people here, writing, friend, not only to the people of his day, of course, but to us in our day here, too, about troubles. And let me tell you something. Nobody likes trouble. Anybody here like troubles to come your way? I don't like troubles to come my way. But Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. In this life, you're going to face troubles. And there's going to be some things that will come your way. But this is amazing here. God said, if need be, if sometimes God will let you go into some troubles, friend. You know what you find out in troubles? if you get in a real fix in life, friend, you're going to have to go to digging for your faith. You might not have used your faith in a good long while. Well, God, if God sees you drifting away, He might just let you go into a great trial or a great trouble, a great heaviness that He speaks about right here. Friend, if you need it. And sometimes we need it, don't we? Can you think back a time in your life when you started drifting away from God and He let something come into your life to put you on your knees? Amen, He'll do it. If you're a child of God, friend, He'll let some things come into your life, friend, to bring you back into the path, friend. He said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Notice this, friend, our heaviness that He speaks about right there. Now listen, God is not going to put you in trouble. He ain't going to put you into nothing, friend, that He won't go into it with you. Brother Adam mentioned that verse over in Psalms the other day, that he'll get in trouble with you. He'll get in your troubles with you. And listen, if we'll take Romans 8:28 literally, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. When a trial comes your way, when trouble comes your way, look to God. Say, God, what are You trying to teach me in this? God, how are You trying to grow me in this trouble that's come my way? Show me, God. I want to lean upon You. And I promise you, listen, God's not going to go back on His word. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And God can work your troubles out for good if you lean upon Him. Amen. In fact, over in Isaiah 43, He said this, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. God will kill somebody over you. You're His child. Listen to me. Sometimes our heaviness is ordered by God. We're going to pass through them. I'm glad He said, when you pass through. I'm glad that word through is in this passage right here. When you pass through, He said, I'll be with thee. I'll be with you. Listen, friend. A lot of times when we get in troubles, when temptations and trials come our way, we want to say, where are You, God? Why have You allowed this to happen? And we go to blaming God. But let me tell you something, friend. Instead of blaming Him, trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Amen? Amen. Listen, in our heaviness, the places we pass through and then the purpose of passing through, back in our text right there, He said that the trial of our faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God wants to get glory from your life, from my life. And if we'll just look to Him, even in our heavy times, even in our trials, realize, friend, like Job said, when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. And God wants you to come out of your trial better, more faithful, more trusting than when you went in. So when things look bad, friend, look at this now. Look at God. Trust the Lord. For He said, not only the places we pass through and the purpose of passing through them, but the preservation as we pass through. Verse 5, He said, we're kept by the power of God. What greater hands could you be in? You know what we want to trust in? We want to trust in our bank account. We put all our trust in our doctors. And doctors are great. I'm glad God has given man wisdom in our days. And I'm proud for modern medicine, friend. But God wants you to trust in Him. God wants you to give Him the glory. That's what He's seeking out of our life. He said, unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We ought to be giving honor to Him. Even in our heavy times, He's preserved us unto His heavenly kingdom. And lastly, I want you to notice this tonight. Where to look when things look bad? Look to your holiness, hope, to your home, to your, and even in your heaviness, friend. There's some places you can look for help. Not only that, but look at your happiness tonight. Happiness. Now, I'm talking about happiness that He describes right here in verse number 8. He said, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, the joy of being saved, the joy of knowing your eternal destiny has been settled, and you can lay your head down at night and have peace. You ain't got to take a bottle of pills. You ain't got to take a bottle of liquor to try to put your mind at ease and at rest, friend. But I'm talking about when you've got faith in Christ. I've never seen Him. I've never seen Him. But He is as real to me as you are sitting there tonight. He is that real to me, friend. And yet believing, He says, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Why can we rejoice tonight, friend? Because of all the things that I just said. I've got hope. I've got a home. I've got holiness that only He could give me. And because of that, I'm going to see Him one day. Our happiness. Have you got joy unspeakable tonight? And listen to me now. I want you to search yourself tonight. Have you got that joy down in your soul that only God can give? Now, we go out and buy things to try to make ourselves happy. You know that? We get a little money ahead, and we get to thinking about things that we can buy with that money, boy, that'll make us happy. You ever been in a situation like that? But you know that happiness wears off in a hurry. I thought about 6 or 8 months ago that I just had to have a Kawasaki Mule. Now, I went to looking for a bargain in one. I looked and I looked and I looked through Craigslist. I looked everywhere and finally, friend, I found one down at Noonan at the Kawasaki dealer. Brand spanking new. Camo. And went down there and made them a lowball offer. And you know what? I wound up buying that thing. And pulled that thing home, sitting out there in my building for about 7 months now. It's got 4 hours on it. Boy, the shine's gone. Isn't it amazing how we search for happiness in things? But I've got a happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ that the shine's never left it. He saved me first Sunday morning in March in 1974. I was a 23-year-old young man on the way to hell. He saved me. Old times saved. Born again. Birthed into the family of God. I ain't never got over it, friend. It just gets sweeter every day. The shine ain't never left it. And I guarantee you it won't never leave it. Oh, listen to me tonight. Happiness, friend, is in keeping the faith. It's in keeping the fortitude. Guts. You need some guts in the day that we live. You know what Peter was telling these folks right here? You better get you some guts. Because things is rough. Things is tough. The world ain't going to come along and pat you on the back. Everything in this Bible tells me that things will get worse and worse in the latter days. But let me tell you something. Nero, the old Roman emperor, he put a lot of folks to death. And if you'll read over in Hebrews chapter 11, they refused to accept deliverance because they had hope in a better resurrection. They refused to deny Christ. This world would love to draw you back out in it and get you to deny the Lord and deny the faith. But let me tell you something, friend. If you're going to be happy in life, you need to keep the faith. You need to keep some fortitude. Get you some guts. Because somebody's going to hurt your feelings out there in this world somewhere. No telling what's going to happen. Not only keep you some fortitude, but keep looking to the finish. Over in Hebrews chapter 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. One day faith's going to end in sight. We'll say goodbye to this old world right here. Amen. When things look bad, where are you going to look when things look bad? Hope you got some things anchored in your soul. Wonder tonight if there's any trouble in your life.